Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. This is Michael Savage Live. Michael Savage Live. Tonight is a very big night for many people around the world of the Jewish faith. It is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, where the Jewish people go from the year 5,773 in their calendar to 5,774. That's almost 6,000 years of continuous history. And I have to ask myself, what have the Jewish people learned from history? Now, you could take that question any way you want, but I frame that question in context of the war we are being dragged into in a way I've never seen in my life. I never thought I would see the day that so many would commit so much propaganda in such a short period of time. It literally boggles the mind to watch people like Barbara Boxer, the loudest mouth of all, the most anti-gun, anti-war, anti-police, loudmouth yenta in the history of the Senate, rushing to sign up your son to go die over Syria. To watch John McCain say, I'm not signing on the dotted line because it's not a wide enough war for me. To watch that hooded-eye, lantern-jawed John Kerry say that the Arabs will pay for the war, turning us into nothing but mercenaries or Hessians or whores for the Arab oil interests. And Obama saying, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. Again, the big lie, something out of Mao Zedong's China. It's a propaganda unlike any I've ever seen in my life. I was upset for the 60 or 80 days that Clinton bombed Serbia, but I've never been as agitated as I am tonight, watching the full court press, the warmongers, the hate mongers, the liars, the outright liars, dragging America's sons into war. I've never seen anything like it. There's no wisdom in attacking Syria, no wisdom whatsoever. I want to tell you right now, I'm an anti-war conservative. I am an anti-war conservative, and where are the anti-war liberals? There are a few around. Tell me what it's going to do for the situation. I'm going to give you a phone number, then I'm going to play some sound. The phone number to this show is 855-400-7282. I have a rousing show for you tonight because I'm aroused. And when I'm psychically aroused, you will be psychically aroused. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-400-7282. In the first hour, we're going to do the war. In the second hour, I'm moving on to an atrocity unlike anything seen in your lifetime called the rape of Nanking. When 300,000 Chinese were raped, burnt alive, beheaded, humiliated by Japanese troops. And the reason I'm going to talk about the rape of Nanking is to put things in context for the listeners and also to put out a sort of a cautionary warning as to what an ancient nation like China is probably going to do one day to get even for the rape of Nanking. They have a long memory. We don't. This nation has no memory whatsoever. This is a nation with Alzheimer's disease. This nation has no past. This nation seems to have no future. This nation seems to only have a present. And it has a propaganda ministry unlike anything I've ever seen in my lifetime. The unwisdom of attacking Syria has been written. Tonight it will be spoken. So let us begin with the lantern-jawed, hooded-eyed, ketchup king, John Kerry.
With respect to Arab countries offering to bear cost and to assist, the answer is profoundly yes, they have. That offer is on the table. With respect to boots on the ground, profoundly no. There will be no boots on the ground. The president has said that again and again.
Oh,
and there
he's
is
reliable.
Nothing in this authorization that should contemplate it.
Should
we reiterate no boots on the ground? Well, we
for
don't
now,
know what action we're engaged in right now, but they've been quite significant. I mean, very significant.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of them have said that if the United States is prepared to go do the whole thing the way we've done it previously in other places, they'll carry that cost. That's how dedicated they are to this. Obviously, that's not in the cards, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, you're talking about it right now, John.
In serious ways about getting this job done.
Getting this job done. Don't you love when warmongers speak in acronyms? Lebensraum, getting this job done. Do you even know what Lebensraum means? It was only living space that Hitler needed for Germany. It wasn't war. They needed to get the job done. Well, they needed living space for the expanding German people, the expanding German population. They didn't mean to hurt the Poles or those in Czechoslovakia. They just needed living space. See, living space, that's all it was. It wasn't really war. And this is not really war. This is actually love. What Obama and Kerry and Boxer and Feinstein and McCain and the others, the warmongers, the mad people, are doing is not war at all. It's love. It's peace. They're doing it for the sake of humanity. Again, the phone number is 855-407-2822. We have another doozy for you, which is the king has no clothes himself when he says, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. This is propaganda unlike any I've ever heard. It's twisting a lie into a bigger lie. Listen to clip number two.
First of all, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world set a red line when governments representing 98% of the world's population said the use of chemical weapons are abhorrent and passed a treaty forbidding their use even when countries are engaged in war.
Then why didn't you say anything when Bill Clinton used chemical weapons in Waco, Texas, for example? That's number one. Number two, who used the chemical weapons? We don't know who fired the canisters. We have no definitive proof. The UN hasn't given us the report. There are those who say that the rebels did it themselves to marshal world sympathy and world opinion on their side. And what an attack on Syria on Assad will do is encourage Islamist groups around the world that if they want the U.S. to act as their mercenary army and navy, all they have to do is stage a gas attack anywhere on the planet and blame it on whatever government they want to overthrow, right? And by the way, while you're thinking about it, what do you think is going to happen to the Christian community in Syria and the Jewish community in Syria? The Jews in power seem to be wanting war. I've never seen anything like this. I was shocked when I woke up this morning, frankly, and I clicked on my website and I clicked on the Drudge Report and I said, what? Sheldon Adelson? Sheldon Adelson, the billionaire from Las Vegas, who was vehemently anti-Obama. Sheldon Adelson, who put I don't know how many millions behind that toad, Newt Gingrich, is now backing war, trying to ram the war down the throat, along with other major league Jewish groups backing a strike on Syria. I said, what the hell is happening to the Jewish leadership in this country? Have they lost their damn minds? Have they lost their damn minds? I asked myself this morning. And that's when I knew I had to be on the air tonight. It is the Rosh Hashanah tonight. Jews around the world are celebrating this. Maybe even Mr. Adelson is eating a lovely meal somewhere in Las Vegas. I hope he's enjoying it. I hope that the other leaders of the Jewish world are enjoying, well, actually it's way past dinner time. Maybe some of them are in their cars listening to the Savage Nation on the way home. Maybe they don't understand what I'm saying to them. So maybe I'll say it a little more clearly. 5,774 years in the Jewish calendar. And this is the best we can do? This is the best we can do is push America into a war for reasons we don't even understand? We don't even know who launched the chemical weapons. So it's not really about chemical weapons, is it? No. I've been trying to tell you that I don't think it is. I think it's about competing natural gas pipelines. Now, the leftists were fanatically anti-Iraq war. They said no war for oil. They had a nice, you know, screaming fit on that, and they had no war for oil bumper stickers. We haven't seen no war for gas bumper stickers yet. People may not understand it because they've seen the pictures of the dead children. And they're horrible pictures, admittedly, but we still don't know who launched the gas. That's number one. Number two, we don't know what the results will be of an open-ended bombing campaign. And you have Madman McCain as much as admitting he's not happy with a limited strike. He doesn't want a surgical strike, Madman McCain. Madman McCain wants a wider war. So I ask, why doesn't McCain have his daughter join the military? She can get off the talk show circuit. She's not being booked anymore anyway. She turned out to be just a useful hack for the time she was used. She could enlist in the military. I'm sure he has enough connections to make her into a lieutenant colonel literally overnight. And since Kerry is so gung-ho on war, I think he can search around in the Ketchup Kingdom, either within his family or his wife's family, and have some of the boys of military age put down the ecstasy and pick up a gun and go fight for America. Or Pelosi, after all, she consulted with a five-year-old granddaughter. And in the wisdom of the granddaughter, she found the excuse to go to war. Then, of course, there's Barbara Boxer, the foaming-at-the-mouth leftist fanatic who is now a warmonger. She certainly has people of military age in her family. They could put down their law degrees and go join the military. If you'd like to comment on the war, if you'd like to comment on the madness of the war, if you'd like to comment on the insanity of the propaganda, if you'd like to comment on my comments, if you take umbrage with anything I've said, I don't mind. I don't mind. I'm in the business of creating umbrage. This is Michael Umbridge. The phone number here is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, a little bump and grind on the Savage Nation. Let me hear the sound for a minute before I get back to the heartache of the war. Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. Jewish New Year. Jewish people believe that over the next 10 days, God decides everything that's going to happen to everyone during the coming year, and they all pray that they're written into the Book of Life. That is something very important for people to understand. And tonight is the beginning of that. And tomorrow morning, the ram's horn is sounded. The ram's horn is sounded as if to say, awaken, awaken, awaken. It's meant to waken up the slumbering people in the synagogues. When the ram's horn is blown in the temples around the world tomorrow morning, it's supposed to wake up the Jewish people. Wake them up to what, though? To war? Wake up to war? That the Jewish leadership in America is screaming, go to war? Where are the rabbis saying no war? Peace. We're a religion of peace. Where are they? I can guarantee you, as I stand here, you will hear in temples across America tomorrow the case made for war. Because 98% of the rabbis in America are very liberal. And whatever the king wants, the king will get. But he's not going to get it from me. I'm an anti-war conservative. Which side are you on? I'll take your calls if you'd like on the Savage Nation, because I've never seen a propaganda, full-court press propaganda display like this in my lifetime ever. Never. It was not like this going into Iraq. It was not like this bombing Serbia. It was not like this going into Afghanistan. I've never seen anything like it. Boy, there must be a lot of money being spread around. Wow. To see Boxer come running in like that, foaming at the mouth with a pen in her hand? To see the others with pens? Whoa, there must be money being spread around D.C. before the break. Wow. Boston, WCRN, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me on your show, Michael. I like you better every night when I listen to you, and you are doing a service to this entire nation.
Now, hold it. I got your accent. You are the Dutchman, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You are the Dutchman, a Jewish man by birth who survived the Holocaust, just so people know who you are.
No.
And yes, and then after the war, you became a Christian to survive the war. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. My father survived the war. 175 of his relatives were gassed by the Germans. And I think the Democratic chairwoman, whose name I will not use, is a despicable Jew who wants to make a case that this is the same as the Holocaust. How deep and how low can you sink?
Well, you heard what I said last night. How dare they use the Holocaust in order to peddle this false war? I was outraged last night. Did you hear the show?
Absolutely.
And that was the one, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, isn't it?
Yes, I will not even...
Debbie Wasserman Schultz up on her high horse about the Holocaust. I was sickened by it. It was sickening to listen to her last night. to peddle war or on the death on the souls of 9 million dead?
You're absolutely right, and I believe that the Jewish leadership in this country, Eric Cantor, is a traitor to the
Jews. Oh, my God. I saw through him the day they picked him up. Where'd they get that one from? Remember, he was being held up as a vice president. Remember him? Where'd he come from? Now, where did he go? All of a sudden, he's suddenly a Mr. War Party.
Well, he's
so look,
many.
Look, this is getting serious now. Let alone America being dragged into war, but why are so many of the Jewish leadership, why are they so gung-ho on this war, do you think?
Socialist, Michael. They're not Jews. They don't believe in God. They believe...
No, that can't be true. Sheldon Adelson is a billionaire, Las Vegas, Macau, magnate, big capitalist, big supporter of Newt Gingrich, lifetime Republican. Suddenly he's backing the war. Why?
Well, I believe that it is like the end of World War II when the Jews in the State of Israel came to Rothschild and asked him for revenge. He said, you can have one of two things, either a country or revenge. It's your choice. And what they chose was a country. They left out the revenge, and ever since, the 13th tribe of Jews that is living in the United States has been selling out their brethren time in and time out again. All they think they have to do is...
You see, you know, this is interesting. People think that the Israelis are going to gain from this war. I see the opposite. I think Israel's going to lose from this war.
This was a gift of our dear leader on the eve of Rosh Hashanah. He left for Sweden. He left the American...
Well, but that's where he got his Nobel Peace Prize, my friend. You see, he's got to go back in order to receive the accolades from the geniuses in Sweden. Well, we're going to talk more about this, and thank you for listening tonight on the Savage Nation. I know many of you have active minds, and you're not in a brisket slumber. You've not yet been narcotized by the brisket and potatoes and the latkes. Your minds are actually turned on, so tune in. Don't drop out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
First of all, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world set a red line when governments representing 98% of the world's population said the use of chemical weapons are abhorrent and passed a treaty forbidding their use even when countries are engaged in war. My credibility is not
on the line. All right, let's turn it off. Turn off the commander-in-chief, because we learned 70 years ago that if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And today we've been watching the big lie. Yesterday we watched the big lie. Kerry, of course, is leading the charge. Selling the big lie would make Leni Riefenstahl and Goebbels very happy to see such a propaganda display with a full court press telling the big lie over and over and over again. Now Obama adds to it and says, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. Teacher, I didn't cheat. You cheated by giving me that question I couldn't answer. You actually cheated by giving me a question I couldn't answer, teacher. Now, we've gone from George Washington saying I did not chop down that cherry tree, which I remember was drilled into my head in the first through second grade in PS 48 in the Bronx, to teach us that truth had value, and the founding father, George Washington, was caught cutting down a cherry tree, and he said, Father, I cannot tell a lie. I cut down that cherry tree. Now, we've gone from him to Obama in several hundred years, where not only has he been seen burning down the cherry tree and saying, I didn't burn down the cherry tree, even though his hands have the matches in it, the gasoline is being behind his pants, the cherry tree is a cinder. No, I didn't burn down that cherry tree. I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. In fact, Father, you burnt down the cherry tree. We like George Washington saying that to his father. You cut down the cherry tree. Look. The axe may be in my hand, but you must have just put it in my hand, Father. You put the axe in my hand. I didn't cut down that cherry tree. You did, Father. This is what we have now passing for a president. There's a lot that can be said. I can't say it all. You're going to have to join me. You'll have to join me. I mean, I'm looking at here's a congressman. He said the calls are running 498-2 against the war. Right. I mean, it's from National Review Online, posted on Drudge. Representative Matt Salmon had 500 calls to his office telling National Review, but only two callers wanted the war, 498-2. Can you believe this? How is it possible that liberals are for war? How is this possible? How is it that I'm an anti-war conservative and you're a war hawk liberal? How did this happen? How can you face yourself? How can you live with this? Now, I know what you're going to say. I've heard it, by the way. Well, come on, Michael. You've seen the pictures of the dead children. We're all recoil and horror. From... Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Si se puede. Yes, we can. Si se puede. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. But you know, there is evidence against Assad having launched the chemical weapon attack. Moreover, I have in my hand additional data about the actual chemical attack, which you haven't seen a scintilla about, so far as I know, in the illegitimate media. Immediately after the attack, three hospitals of Doctors Without Borders, MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, I studied French for 7 years, by the way, I'm not apologetic about it, and I have a Parisian accent, they told me that. I don't really care, but the Doctors Without Borders, a left-wing group in the greater Damascus area, treated more than 3,600 Syrians affected by the chemical attack, and 355 of them died. 355 of them died, not John Kerry's 1,500. 355 died, according to the Médecins Sans Frontières. MSF performed tests on the vast majority of those treated. MSF Director of Operations Bart Janssen summed up the findings as follows. Médecins Sans Frontières can neither scientifically confirm the cause of these symptoms nor establish who is responsible for the attack, period. I'm quoting now from an article in the WorldTribune.com written by Josef Bodansky. Mounting evidence raises questions about Syrian chemical weapon attack, and going to the primary source of the skepticism, the Doctors Without Borders organization, who says that 355 died, not Kerry's lie of 1,500. And number two, they don't know what who launched the gas or what the gas was. Now, I could say I rest my case, but I don't. I've just begun my case against the Ketchup King. No, the Ketchup King has not sold me. The eyes of the Ketchup King on television today were all I needed to see. The hooded eyes, the constant lies. One thing I noticed at the hearing today, I watched it for a while, then I had to leave and go to a boatyard to watch my boat being painted. I would rather watch paint applied rather than paint dry than watch John Kerry lie anymore, I said to myself. So I went and watched them put the bottom paint on my little 22-foot boat in the yard. I liked the smell of the paint. I like the smell of sawdust. It was refreshing to watch honest people doing something instead of watching people who lie for a living. And all I thought of was how impressed these people are with themselves. All I could see was the perfect suit, the hand usage, the watch, the wedding ring, the manicure, the eyebrows, the use of the hands, the watch, the wedding ring. The skilled performance of the professional diplomats, how impressed they are with themselves, I thought. My, do they love themselves in their own voice. My, do they love watching themselves hold court before the world and have so much power. It matters not whether a word is true. What matters is that they have a military now they can exert upon the world in any way they want. The man who came home from the Vietnam War and was one of the founding members of Vietnam Veterans Against the War, how many times must... From that to this, no one sees the irony and the hypocrisy here? No. Some do. New report out. 75,000 troops will be needed to secure chemical weapons facilities. Let me repeat that for those of you who are choking on brisket right now. Those of you who are choking on the brisket fumes in your Lexi, in your whatever... Pentagon knew in 2012 that it would take 75,000 ground troops to secure Syria's chemical weapons facilities. This just came out in the mail online. That's right, just came out. While you slept, securing Syria's chemical weapons stockpiles and the facilities that produce them would likely require the U.S. to send more than 75,000 ground troops into the Middle Eastern country, mail online learned today. The estimate comes from a secret memorandum the U.S. Department of Defense prepared for President Obama in early of 2012. 75,000 ground troops will be necessary for dealing with Bashar al-Assad. They've known it for 18 months. So whose sons will be in Syria? Well, will it be Kerry's? No. Boxer's? No. Pelosi's? No. McCain's? No. Will it be, well, there's a woman in Florida who's upset over the issue there, and she feels it as a Jew and as a mother, she thinks that your son should go to war. Listen to Wasserman Schultz in clip 16.
Well, I feel confident that our colleagues, my colleagues, both on the Republican side of the aisle, as well as the Democratic side of the aisle, are not going to jeopardize the credibility of the United States. I feel confident that we will have a majority of the House of Representatives and the Senate who will understand and authorize the president to engage in a limited, targeted strike that ensures that our national security interests are protected, but also that we respond to atropities and exercise the moral leadership that the United States has always led with.
Okay, now get ready for the soapbox. She now goes into the crescendo of the operetta in clip 17.
And for me, as a mother, you know, to see that searing image of babies lined up, murdered by their own government, innocent children. I mean, as a Jew, Wolf.
Oh,
I have to tell you, as a member of Congress who represents one
of
the largest Holocaust survivor populations in the country.
Oh no! Don't bring up the Holocaust. Don't.
Never again. Has to mean something. And the United States...
God. Turn it off. Okay. Nauseous moment of the entire... The most nauseating moment of the entire charade. To bring up the Holocaust at a time like this? To use the deaths of millions of people to peddle this unnecessary war? It's beyond belief. Incomprehensible. And there's Hagel the Bagel, Secretary of Defense, the man who was never qualified for that job, pushed in there so he'd be a yes man for Obama's destruction of the military. Just started in February. And he's known for a full year, Hagel the Bagel, that resolving Syria's chemical weapons threat without ground troops was a practical impossibility. He's known this. And there's the hooded-eyed one himself, the lantern-jawed, anti-war John Kerry, promising that there would be no boots on the ground. Oh, no. There'll be just corpses on the ground. There'll be no boots on the ground. Now, let me ask you something. The surgical proportional strike that the Nobel Peace Prize winner is going to engage in, tell me how many Syrians will die. Can you tell me that no babies will be killed? Are you pretty sure that our bombs are that accurate, that they're only going to kill evil chemical weapons operators? You mean each bomb is going to have a designated ability to seek out with a special evil person-seeking device in it and kill the evil chemical weapons operator, even if Assad's men did it? Or might, all of you compassionate liberals, might some of these bombs kill some Syrian children? Might these bombs kill some Syrian women? Might these bombs kill some old Syrian men who are not warmongers? Well, I would say the likelihood is very high that people will die. That's what the bombs are for. What are the bombs are for? To kill people. So aren't you worried about the blood that's going to be on the Nobel Peace Prize winner's hands and on Wasserman Schultz's hands and on Kerry's hands and McCain's hands, et cetera, the entire group of them? That doesn't bother you? I mean, war is death. War means death, that's all. It's as simple as that. War means death. It's as simple as that. So again, I don't rest my case. I only begin my case. This is all a preamble. U.S. Navy SEAL teams and other special forces units will be part of a rapid deployment with a non-combat mission restricted to securing chemical weapons. However, if they're attacked, their rules of engagement would likely permit returning fire. So that's boots on the ground. The War Powers Resolution passed the Senate Foreign Relations Committee late tonight on a bipartisan 10-7 vote. And the text said that it does not authorize the use of the United States armed forces on the ground in Syria for the purpose of combat operations. Big deal. Now, if President Obama were in fact to order boots on the ground, the final words of that phrase, quote, for the purpose of combat operations, will become a loophole large enough to drive an M1A Abrams through. See, for the purpose of combat operations. Obama will say, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. He'll say, I said there'll be no boots on the ground. I didn't say there wouldn't be any tanks on the ground. I didn't say there wouldn't be any Humvees on the ground. I didn't say that. I said there'd be no boots on the ground. I didn't say there wouldn't be M1As. And I mean, there's a lot of tanks they don't know what to do with. Think about this, how good this is for General whoever makes it. It's a big facility in Pennsylvania, and they were just about to close it down. Hagel the Bagel was shutting it down. Hey, now they can open it back up again. Make the treads. So there it is, congressional authorization to bomb critical Syrian military sites. Syrian military sites, I want to remind you, are probably in heavily residential areas, as they are in most countries. Let me remind you that Nagasaki in Japan was, in fact, bombed, nuclear bombed at that, at the end of World War, to end World War II, because the Japanese had turned Nagasaki into a military site, interspersed with civilians. It's the way most countries do it. In fact, America has no specific military sites. I mean, excuse me, not many military sites that are separated from the civilian population. So if you look at a tank factory in Pennsylvania, would you say that that's a military site in Pennsylvania? You would say, well, no, there's surrounding villages and towns in Pennsylvania. Well, okay, that's an example. So if an enemy were to bomb our America's military sites, people in surrounding towns would die as well. Kerry, of course, the hooded-eyed one, left open the possibility that boots on the ground could be used specifically to secure chemical weapons stockpiles, quote, in the event Syria imploded, for instance. So in other words, they have a whole plan. They're going to implode Syria. They're going to say, now we need the troops not to kill anyone. And then they'll wheel out Wassermann Schultz with a Stradivarius this time, not just an ordinary good violin. She'll bring out the Stradivarius, and she'll say, it's not boots on the ground. No, it's only 75,000 troops to secure those evil chemicals. That's all. Happy Rosh Hashanah, everybody. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Well, welcome back to the Savage Nation. If you just joined the show, I'm sorry to tell you, you missed some amazing radio in the first 50 minutes of this hour, which is the fact that here I sit, an anti-war conservative, watching a propaganda display unlike any I've ever seen in my lifetime, with lies, trickery, fabrications being presented as truth in a way I've never seen in my life. I mean, I'm used to it from politicians, but never like this. Never. I mean, I don't know where to begin to repeat to tell you the lies are coming so fast and so furious that it reminds me of Fast and Furious. Only this time it's not machine guns to Mexico. This time it's bombs over, bombs over Syria. The best line, of course, to exemplify the insanity of the moment is clip two, where Obama says, I didn't set a red line. Listen to clip two.
First of all, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world
That's
set
enough.
A red
Stop
line
right
when...
there. Father, I did not cut down that cherry tree. You cut down that cherry tree. That's George Washington. That's a new version of the George Washington cherry tree story. I don't think they teach that at all, because it would be uncomfortable to teach liars to tell the truth. You know, if you get a child in the first grade today, by 5 years old, they've been taught to lie, probably. They don't even know what the truth is. So if you teach them that George Washington wouldn't tell a lie, they might cry. They might need medication. They certainly would need therapy. So I don't think that they would teach that anymore about the truth. No, sir, we're not directly imminently threatened in Syria. Well, listen to clip one. Let's start at the top with President Obama.
We may not be directly imminently threatened by what's taking place in Kosovo or Syria or Rwanda in the short term, but our long-term national security will be impacted in a profound way, and our humanity is impacted.
Why did you bring up Rwanda? You didn't do anything in Rwanda.
I think it's
we didn't do anything in Rwanda.
To get out of the habit. In those circumstances of the type that I described, it's important for us to get out of the habit of just saying, well, we'll let the president kind of stretch the boundaries of his authority as far as he can. Congress will sit on the sidelines, snipe if it works.
All right, let's stop right here. Now he's passing the buck. It went from the buck stops here to the buck stops there. From Harry Truman saying the buck stops here to Barack Obama, the buck stops there. So now he's saying that it's Congress's decision. So he thinks he's going to win either way. Well, that's a clever man. Clever man didn't become president by being stupid. His handlers are not dumb. I mean, Axelrod is no dummy. You don't spend your whole life agitating in the streets of Chicago and wind up running the world and not have a high IQ. So you parse things. You say, look, now it's in your hands. I wanted to go. You said, don't go. Now you say, I'll put it in my hands. Put it in. Now you better do it or else I say you didn't do it. Then where does that leave us? So you see, it's now it's in the hands of Congress, not in Obama. So either way, he wins. That's what Axelrod figures. Doesn't matter if a whole country burns. See, the thing is this. You have to understand what you're dealing with here. Human life has no value to politicians of our time. It's a hard thing to admit because America used to pride itself on the value of human life. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I was told that the reason the American soldier is a better soldier and the reason he fights better, which was a lie, by the way, is because the Americans believe in the value of human life and the others don't. Well, now we've reached a point where we're just like the others. We don't believe in the value of human life. Infants are chucked out of a womb and thrown into a garbage can so the girl can go back to an ecstasy rave. She tosses the fetus into the toilet bowl. That's giving you, I'm giving you a graphic example of what's happened to our country. Now let's go to the national level. This administration respects human life? Where? Oh, you mean the death panels with Obamacare, where they're going to tell people what they can do and not do in order to survive. So where's the respect for human life, John Kerry, John McCain, Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Wasserman Schultz? There's the Wasser. Wasser, where's the Wasserman Schultz? Wasserman, where's the Wasser? Give me the holy Wasser.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, there are other countries. I mean, we have, from the briefings that I've received, there are dozens of countries who are going to stand with the United States, who will engage with us on military action. Some of what I've learned is classified, some is unclassified, but what I can tell you is that there are many nations who have committed to support the United States in our action.
There aren't. It's only France. That's Debbie, that's the water woman of Florida. Her official name is Wasserman, but I have affectionately changed it to Wasserfrau. She is now Obama's Wasserfrau, carrying the water for Obama, telling the big lie on a regular basis. There are other countries, dozens of countries, that are on the side with us against Syria, but you can't name any of them. That's unbelievable to me. That's why I played Frank Sinatra, I Love Paris, because only the failed midget from France is on our side because he's got such domestic problems that he figures a war is a good way to distract the French from what socialism has done to that nation. Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, warns the West on Syria action. Don't underestimate a martial artist. No, sir. President Vladimir Putin, former head of the KGB, martial artist, as smart and as ruthless as they come, said that Russia doesn't exclude supporting a UN resolution on punitive military strikes if it is proved that Damascus used poison gas on its own people. So he said, if it's proved. He sounds more reasonable than what we have in our country. They already know what happened. Putin doesn't know, and they know. The interview Tuesday night at Putin's country residence outside the Russian capital was the only one granted prior to the summit of G20 nations in St. Petersburg, which opens Thursday. That's tomorrow. Oh, that'll be a big one. Oh, that's going to be dominated by not the global economy, but the gas job. The gas job followed by the bomb job. So there we are. We're sitting on the cusp of another war, maybe World War III, being led by who? The doves. The doves. And here I am. It's amazing to me. Here I am. It's not really so amazing. I'm actually a libertarian. You want to define me? I'm a libertarian. I mean, if it was America's interest at stake, I wouldn't be taking this position. We have no interest in Syria. We know that. None. It's absolutely nothing. We're a Hessian army. We're mercenaries for the gas deal. America is a mercenary nation now. The military is going to be abused again. First, it was by Bush being abused, abusing the military. Now the military is going to be abused after being cut to the bone by Hegel the Bagel. After Pancetta got through it, then the Bagel took over. First Pancetta sliced them up, and then the Bagel came in to slice them up even further. Now all of a sudden they need the military again. Where's the money going to come from? Well, we had that answer earlier today. Don't worry about the money. It doesn't come from, they're not going to raise your taxes for this war. No. We learned this morning from John, from the Ketchup King, that Arab countries have offered to bear costs and assist in the attack. I swear to God. Play the clip, Neil. Listen to this one.
With respect to Arab countries offering to bear cost and to assist, the answer is profoundly yes, they have. That offer is on the table.
Oh.
With respect to boots on the ground, profoundly no.
What do you mean profoundly?
There will be no boots on the ground. The president has said that again and again.
Tanks and Humvees.
And there is nothing in this authorization that should contemplate it. We reiterate, no boots on the ground.
Should.
Well, we don't know what action we're engaged in right now, but they've been quite significant. I mean, very significant. In fact, some of them have said that if the United States is prepared to go do the whole thing the way we've done it previously in other places, they'll carry that cost. That's how dedicated they are to this. Obviously, that's not in the cards, and nobody's talking about it.
Oh.
But they're talking,
well, you're talking
in serious
about it.
Ways about getting this job done.
Getting this job done, Lebensraum. We need living space. Getting this job done. I really get, whenever I hear politicians talking in such acronym, you know, like getting this job done, living space, Lebensraum, we're going to kill for peace. You better really be worried here. Kerry is probably one of the most dangerous men to have ever been Secretary of State. Came back from the Vietnam War and started an anti-war movement in order to capitalize on the lunatics with the patchouli oil and the underarm hair. Well, now the patchouli oil and underarm hair crowd is running the world, and now they're warmongers. How does that figure? How does this figure? How is this possible that on the verge of the Jewish New Year, so many pacifist Jews are suddenly warmongers wanting bombs to fall from the sky? How? How? I'm not God. I can only ask the questions. God has to answer them. I can't answer them. No, I can ask them. As a human being, all I can do is ask questions at a certain point. I can't answer them because I'm bewildered by how I can understand politicians who are basically mercenaries for various commercial interests, period, in plain English. Whoever, you know, pays the highest dollar becomes the lobbyist. That's what it is. So, you know, it's unbelievable to me. Tonight's a very holy night in the Jewish calendar. It's the beginning of the Jewish New Year. Thousands of years of history from 5774, 5773 to year 5774, 6,000 years of continuous history. And I ask myself, what have the elders of the Jewish tribe learned in those near 6,000 years? To go to war again? Again war? This is what they've learned? This is what their religion has taught them? That war is the answer and not peace? Not discussion, not reason, but war. So you go back to the tribes of Israel, to the ancient tribes of Israel. You go back to David. You go back to the formation when the tribes were unified by David. David unified the tribes of Israel not through peace, not through love, not through reason, but by bloodshed. David was a murderer, David of the Bible. He was a warlord who killed the leaders of the other tribes and made the nation of Israel. Now you say, well, why are you bringing that up tonight? Why are you ruining my brisket? Why are you giving me a little agita? Why? Because I want to. It's my middle name, Michael Agita Savage. Why am I bringing it up? Because I want to bring it up. Because you don't know your own history, and those who do not know their own history are condemned to repeat it. So don't run around with this image that is a false image. No, David was a bloodthirsty murderer. But it's true for most leaders. See, this is what I'm getting at. I'm actually going somewhere. Look at the nation of Hawaii before it became a state of Hawaii. King Kalakaua of Hawaii became the king of Hawaii. How? By killing other princes or warlords, murdered them, butchered them, killed their cohorts, and unified all of the tribes of Hawaii into a kingdom under him. So wherever you turn, powerful men kill to get where they are. And there's no difference today.
we have rhetoric today, we have television today to make the big lie bigger and to soothe you over. But make no mistake about it, this war is about killing for power. This is about power and money. This is about nothing else. There is a humanitarian element, but we still don't know who launched the gas attack. According to Putin, we don't know. According to the Doctors Without Borders, we don't know. We still don't know, but we're already going to war with the big lie. And what's getting me sick is to hear the water woman, for example, invoking the Holocaust, the water frau, Wasserfrau, to invoke the Holocaust to sell the war is sickening. Sickening. But she's not alone. She's not alone. They're all doing it. Munich, the Holocaust, whatever it takes, by any means necessary. It's beyond belief to hear rhetoric like this in my lifetime. So, you know, as the show, when the show closes tonight, and you leave me and I leave you, we're going to all think about this. What times are we living in and where are we going? Where are our leaders leading us? What is the vision that these lunatics have for this nation and the world? So let's turn to the Bible. I'll read you a few sentences where tonight even the fallen Jews will listen to me. We hear about lapsed Catholics all the time, but we never hear about fallen Jews. That's supposed to be a hush-hush and not allowed to mention it. But since Catholics admit that they once went to church, a lot of them, and they say, I'm a lapsed Catholic, I'm speaking now to all of the fallen Jews who never go into a temple, except maybe once or twice a year, and don't believe a word that they hear, but they feel guilty anyway, and they do it for the children. I will read you from your actual Bible, the Old Testament, Isaiah, where he writes, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have condemned the Holy One of Israel. They are turned away backward. On what part will ye yet be stricken, seeing you stray away more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and festering sores. They have not been pressed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by floods. That's a pretty harsh vision that Isaiah had. But Isaiah must have been a very, very seeing man and a very, very depressed and agitated man to see what was going on in ancient Israel. And he railed against it on a regular basis, Isaiah did, and he wrote, how is the faithful city become a harlot, that she was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers? The silver has become dross, he wrote, the wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth bribes and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them, wrote Isaiah in the ancient days of the Israelites, as told tonight on this eve of Rosh Hashanah, on the eve of war, on this eve of war, on this eve of war, full of injustice, full of lies, full of bribery. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yep. This is a very sad night in many ways. I'm not maudlin. I mean, I'm not maudlin at all. I'm not even sad. I'm very agitated, as you should be, to see so many left-wing liars lining up to tell the big lie to go to war. And here I sit, a so-called conservative right-winger, an anti-war right-winger. How did that happen? How is the left so gung-ho on the war? Being led by the Ketchup Kingdom, the Boxer Kingdom, the Pelosi clan, the McCain clan. How is this possible? How did the world become so crazy? People are asking. We have to turn again to the Bible. I'm going to do it again. I know many of you like it and then many of you hate it. But since it's the evening of a Rosh Hashanah, a very religious night, for so many millions of people around the world, and since Christianity and Judaism are married at the hip, as an Italian friend of mine, God rest, I hope he's better, by the way. I hope he gets well. Lorenzo is suffering from an illness, and I hope Lorenzo recovers. We send our prayers to my friend. But as he once said to me, Christians and Jews, same CEO, different division. Same corporation, different division. He said to me as we ate the prosciutto and drank the wine.
Same corporation, different division. I love that line. So since there are so many millions of us tonight in America facing an uncertain future, by the way, we have the craziest administration in American history. We don't know from one day to the next what this lunatic is going to do and where he gets the support from all of these water carriers, right, left, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. They're already at war already. The next day, Eric Cantor, now he's for war. Where'd he come from? So you have to turn to the Bible at times like this. I'll read you one more thing for the moment on the Savage Nation, because Isaiah is one of my favorites, because he was really a real fire and brimstone guy. I mean, in his day, if they had had electrons and microphones, the guy would have been king. Isaiah would have been the biggest one in radio in his day. And here's what he wrote. And he shall judge between the nations and shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isn't it odd? Isn't it odd that I, Michael Savage, have to remind you that Isaiah in the Old Testament is the man who wrote, they shall beat their swords into plowshares? Isn't it odd that I carry the burden tonight and not your left-wing Barbara Boxer, not your allegedly left-wing Ketchup King, not your left-wing Nancy Pelosi who talks to five-year-olds to find out which way to go, may as well look at the cards, may as well throw the dice, may as well throw the sticks, may as well go to the I Ching, the wackos, the nutcases, the liars, don't remember. Isaiah wrote, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. If I were a rabbi, which I am not, and I had a congregation tonight for Rosh Hashanah, I can guarantee you I wouldn't stand up there with a S.E. grin telling people how justified it would be to go to war tomorrow. I'd be reading Isaiah to the congregation, reminding them what is in their own Bible that they have probably never read. Maybe they thought it was a Christian thing. Beat their swords into plowshares. It's actually a Jewish thing. That's a Jewish thing. You have to understand the Bible to know it's a Jewish thing. And then, of course, there's old Jeremiah, another one. Wow, was he into... Whoa, these guys really know how to throw the rhetoric around. And why did he say that the ancient Israelites fell? Why did the ancient Israelites fall? Why did ancient Israel fall? Why were the people taken into captivity? Jeremiah, he felt he had the reason. He said, upon every hill and under every leafy tree, thou didst recline playing the harlot. And I had planted thee a noble vine, a right seed. How did you turn into a degenerate plant, he asked, of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Can you imagine hearing words like this in a time when there are so many harlots and so many Jezebels glorifying their activities and held up as role models for our little girls? Can you imagine the defilement of our land by Hollywood and the Hollywood Mafia and what it has done to the mind of the world?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now look, talk radio is fundamentally news talk. That's what it is, it's news talk. So forgive me for launching into the Bible and esoterica of that nature. It's just the way my mind works. So I apologize in advance for going off script. But I'll give you a little news now, a little news that you may not have seen yet in your local communist rag. Just came out, breaking news. Syria's Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal Muqtad threatens World War III for a U.S. strike. Now, I realize this could upset your dinner, but he said tonight his regime would not give in to threats of a U.S.-led military strike, even if a third world war erupts. In an interview with AFP, Faisal Muqtad said his government has taken every measure to counter a potential intervention aimed at punishing the regime of Bashar al-Assad over a suspected deadly poison gas strike, and they were mobilizing their allies and would take every measure to retaliate against aggression, close quote. Now, this is news for one reason. This is the first time an Assad regime official has intimated that Damascus has invoked the defense pacts between Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah. Don't underestimate Iran and Hezbollah. Don't underestimate them. So now, you know, McCain wants a wider war. The ketchup man wants a wider war. Pelosi wants a wider war. Boxer wants a wider war. So don't think they don't know what's coming. Even Wasserfrau may know that there's a wider war. They may all know it. Maybe they feel this is the time for Armageddon. And we may as well strike while we're strong enough to strike, because if we miss this opportunity to take on Iran, they'll have a nuclear weapon and then it'll be too late. That could be the talk within the inner circle. That's possibly what's being said from the Middle East to the Middle West. I don't know. Well, that's certainly a thought, is it not? Now, I want to talk about atrocities for a minute, because I've been a student of atrocities since I'm a young boy. They've traumatized me. The video footage, the war footage of World War II, the stories I heard in the Bronx when I was a little boy of what was done by Germans to Jews. I was hushed away and not was supposed to hear. I wasn't supposed to hear it. But I heard all of it when I was a little boy. I heard things the Germans did to capture Jews. I can't even repeat it on the show. I don't want to repeat it. But it traumatized me. What I heard was done to innocent people who were captured by beasts. But as I got older, I found out that it was not just the Germans to the Jews. And recently, I read about the rape of Nanking, and about 10 years ago, a book came out, one of the most fabulous books on that horrible tragedy of 1937 and 38, when 300,000 out of 600,000 civilians and soldiers who were hiding in Nanking were brutalized in a way you could never imagine. 6 weeks of carnage in Nanking, China, would become known as the Rape of Nanking, and represented the single worst atrocity during the World War II era in either the European or Pacific theaters of war. The single worst. It didn't say more war and killed in the Holocaust. I said the single worst incident. Now, I saw a movie the other night by accident, a Chinese production from 2009, write it down, called City of Life and Death. I'm not selling it. I'm not doing a book signing or a video signing. I'm not prostituting myself peddling the video. It's called City of Life and Death 2009, done in China. I couldn't stop watching it, that I couldn't watch it. I turned it off and I turned it back on. It's a Chinese production about what the Japanese did to Chinese civilians in Nanking. I couldn't watch it. And I would move to a boxing match, then I'd move to something else. Then I'd flip back and see how I couldn't take it anymore. It was so well done, I said, I can't watch it. It was better than a documentary in a way, because it was more dramatic. And it was about Chinese families hiding their daughters and wives from the Japanese troops. I couldn't watch what they did to the girls. I couldn't stand it. And then it got worse and worse and worse. They took the Chinese girls and women up to the age of 70. They took infants. And they put them into cubicles, and they had the Japanese troops rape them around the clock until the women became numb. Every 15 minutes, a Japanese soldier was allowed to rape the girls, and then the girls would be dead from the rapes. They would take them out in wheelbarrows, naked, and burn them. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I said, is this propaganda put out by a Chinese filmmaker? So I reread the Rape of Nanking, and it turns out that was only a touch of what was done to them. It was only a touch of what was done. The Japanese did this, and I'm bringing it up not because I have any dislike for the Japanese people. I admire them very much. I visited Japan many times, and I really admire the people in the country. But I'm trying to tell you, when you see smiling soldiers conducting bayonet practice on live prisoners, decapitating them, displaying severed heads as souvenirs, and proudly standing among mutilated corpses, when you hear about Chinese POWs mowed down by machine gun fire while other Chinese were tied up, soaked with gasoline, and burned alive, when you hear about old women over the age of 70, as well as little girls under the age of 8, dragged off to be sexually raped, 20,000 females, maybe 80,000 Chinese, gang raped by Japanese soldiers, then stabbed to death with bayonets or shot so they could never bear witness, pregnant women not spared. I will not read what was done to them. Sometimes after storming into a house, I read, and encountering a whole family, The Japanese forced Chinese men to rape their own daughters, sons to rape their mothers, and brothers their sisters, while the rest of the family was made to watch. You say, why am I reading this on a radio show tonight when we're talking about a gas attack in Syria? I'm reading about this carnage, the citywide burnings, stabbings, drownings, strangulations, rapes, thefts that went on in Nanking from mid-December 1937 through the beginning of February 1938 for a reason. I'm telling you about the notorious comfort women system, which forced young Chinese women to become slave prostitutes, existing solely for the sexual pleasure of Japanese soldiers. Why am I telling you this? Because news reports of this going on in Nanking appeared in the official Japanese press and also in the West. Page one reports appeared in newspapers, including the New York Times. Japanese news was boasting about it because it reflected the militaristic mood of the country. And they were trying to harden the troops into becoming bloodthirsty murderers for the future war against all of China. And you can watch the movie if you want, or you can read The Rape of Nanking, the book, or you can see City of Life and Death 2009. Why? Why am I telling you about this atrocity? 300,000 Chinese civilians hiding inside their safety zone, and yet 300,000 were killed in the most horrendous imaginable way. You can't imagine this. Nobody can imagine this. Your mind will shut down. You'll go insane if you think this was done to human beings. But that is what I'm trying to tell you for a couple of reasons. The world knew what was going on and did nothing. The world did nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then there's a subtext to what I'm saying to you. China has a long memory. China is an ancient civilization. It has a very long memory. China does not suffer amnesia as we do. China knows its history. China remembers its history. China will get even for its history. As sure as I'm standing here, horrible things are going to happen in this century that will dwarf what happened in the 20th century. I don't even want to say it to you. I almost feel like I'm saying things I don't want to say them. We heard that the 20th century was a violent century and millions, hundreds of millions were killed. It's true. Oh, it's very true. 100 million people died as a result of Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin because of their crazed economic theories called communism. 100 million people died because of communism in the last century. That's chicken feed, isn't it? 60 million Chinese were killed because of Mao Zedong's insanity. 60 million people were killed, starved to death or killed in death camps because of Mao Zedong's madness. 30 million were killed by Stalin in Russia or starved to death because of his insanity, all because of the insane concept of communism in the last century. So now we enter a new century. Here we are 13 years into a new century. And what have we had? Peace so far? We've had the prelude to what's coming so far. We've had the prelude in September 11th, 2001, by our dear Islamist friends. They gave us a little prelude of the thousand-year war that they've been involved with from the religion of peace. All in the name of religion, they slammed their planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon in the name of religion, in the name of their religion, in the name of their religion. And we've been told day in and day out with the big propaganda that religion of peace, it's an anomaly, they stole or hijacked the religion. Well, let us pray so. And what have we seen since? Egypt. Egypt. Again, the Muslim Brotherhood. Name of religion. Churches burned. Christians marched in the street. Nuns marched in the street. And what did you do about it? What did Terry do about that? God damn him! What did that loudmouth Pelosi and Boxer say when the churches were burning in Egypt 3 weeks ago? Damn them all! I damn them all! Those liars, those thieves! They said nothing as the churches burned. They said nothing as the nuns were marched in the street. Liars all. Liars all. They said nothing when the churches were burning. So what the hell is this all about? What is this about? Tell me what this is about. I've given you a few snapshots in the last 11 minutes. I put together the rape of Nanking to the rape of Christians on a smaller scale in Egypt. And Kerry said nothing. Boxer said nothing. Obama said nothing. McCain said nothing. Not one word out of their mouth because the perpetrators were Islamists. So you have to ask yourself, well, what are they, why are they getting so worked up now? Well, you better ask yourself a lot of questions tonight and over the next few days about where they're taking you and your sons and what they really want and who they're really answering to. Because what they're telling you is not the truth, in my humble opinion. And this century, if it's handled wrongly, as it is being handled by this president of ours and his minions, could turn out to make the 20th century look like a century of peace. I think I will take a quick break and come back with more breaking news right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Apparently there was a slight technical error somewhere along the chain of electronics. And you were waiting for my mellifluous voice and didn't hear it. Well, I'm back now to conclude this hour in the Savage Nation. So my friend Dr. Safadi sends me this and it says, three lines, logic. Assad attacks Islamists, Kerry and Company howl. Islamists attack Christians, Kerry and Company strange silence. Now Saudis tell Kerry they will pay us to be mercenaries. Okay? He said, figure it out. I'm telling you, this is not what you think it is. Yeah, there are dead women and children and men in white linen. They were killed by someone, but we don't know who. Doctors at our borders says that 355 died. Kerry says 1,500. So starting even with the numbers of dead, it doesn't make sense. Then they say they don't know what gas was used. It could have been kitchen gas, according to one source. Whatever that is, they said they don't think it's sarin. Yet we're told definitively by the ketchup king that it's sarin. And I'm not allowed to ask these questions? I'm the bad guy for asking why we're rushing to war? And they're invoking Munich. They're invoking the Holocaust. I've never heard anything like this. And McCain, the madman, says, oh, no, I'm not signing on to this because it's too limited. I want more war. I want the right to really go for it. So here we are. I mean, we're talking about it. That's what we're doing. Madman McCain wants wider regional war. Obama lies about red lines and blames the world. Adelson, new Obama ally, as Jewish groups back Syria strike, which just caught me like a hit on the side by a blow. Adelson? Mr. Anti-Obama Adelson, the gambling magnate, the supporter of Newt Gingrich, is now suddenly backing a Syria strike? It's beyond comprehension that Jewish groups are now gung-ho war. I never saw such allies like this. I never saw anything like this. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Morris Amite, founder of the pro-Israel Washington PAC, said, for our credibility, we have to do something. Well, Morris, why don't you put on a uniform and go do something? I never saw anything like this. Obama made the same argument August 30th on a 30-minute call with 1,000 rabbis. You hear what the rabbinators become? 1,000 rabbis. Not one person said one word about Isaiah to Obama. Instead, Syria came up. And the first question was asked by Rabbi Gerald Skolnick of the Forest Hills Jewish Center in Queens. I couldn't believe this. They're all war hawks now all of a sudden? I can't believe this. The rabbis are now war hawks. What happened to them? They drank Obama's Kool-Aid now. We have a very strong stake in the world, taking seriously our insistence that weapons of mass destruction should not proliferate, said one of the rabbis on the call, Rabbi Rick Block, president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, a New York-based organization of reform rabbis. Suddenly a reform liberal Jew rabbi is now all of a sudden a warmonger. The support Obama is getting from pro-Israel groups in the U.S. is astonishing. It's astonishing. Astonishing when you look at this. Adelson? Adelson, a Las Vegas casino owner, now supports the coalition Syria message. The RJC's counterpart, the National Jewish Democratic Council, today added its voice to a chorus of U.S.-based Jewish groups urging military intervention. Others calling for war include AIPAC, the Anti-Defamation League, the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, all want war, outlining the case for action against Syria. Have you ever seen anything like this? Malcolm Hohenlein, executive vice chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, said the group decided to act before the Jewish high holidays when rabbis will likely speak on Syria. Can you believe this? Rabbis are now going to become PR agents for Obama's war machine? In your lifetime, God himself must be rolling over in heaven to see an entire religion part of a PR campaign by Barack Obama. You ask yourself, how could this be going on? Don't ask yourself that question, because there's no answer for it. There's madness in the air. Total and absolute madness. Another big hour across America in most markets right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, welcome to Hour 3 of the Savage Nation for Wednesday, September 4th, 2013. To my Jewish listeners, happy Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year for Jews around the world. Let's see what's on the headlines. Libya sinks into lawlessness and ruin. Libya. Now, why do I mention Libya? Because Gaddafi warned us if he was overthrown, the Islamists would take over. Madman McCain doesn't know that. Mad Obama doesn't know it. Mad Barbara Boxer doesn't know it. The Democrats don't know it, and Madman McCain wants a wider regional war. The lunatic actually opposed the draft resolution limiting action in Syria, saying that's not good enough. We need the power to do more. Meanwhile, Obama lies about red lines and blames the world. This is a shocker. Sheldon Adelson, a vehement anti-Obamaite, the billionaire from Las Vegas, is new Obama ally with major league Jewish groups who are backing a Syria strike. I rest my case. I told you what I thought last week. I am right. Fort Hood killer forcibly shaved in prison. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse are behind the war. What else is in the news? U.S. and Israel, I told you so. What else is in the news? Let's go to the bottom of michaelsavage.com. A thief learns the hard way not to pull a gun on a storekeeper. Really? What happened? Well, the storekeeper was a four-term Iraq war veteran and former prison guard. I'll let you figure out what happened to the thief. Meanwhile, illegal aliens are bringing paganism to the U.S. They're not going to the churches. Not at all. Take a look at the pictures on michaelsavage.com. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-407-282. So let us begin with the lantern-jawed, hooded-eyed, ketchup king, John Kerry.
With respect to Arab countries offering to bear cost and to assist, the answer is profoundly yes, they have. That offer is on the table. With respect to boots on the ground, profoundly no. There will be no boots on the ground. The president has said that again and again.
Oh,
and there
he's
is
reliable.
Nothing in this authorization that should contemplate it.
Should
we reiterate no boots on the ground?
Well, we don't know what action we're engaged in right now, but they've been quite significant. I mean, very significant.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have said that if the United States is prepared to go do the whole thing the way we've done it previously in other places, they'll carry that cost. That's how dedicated they are to this. Obviously, that's not in the cards, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, you're talking about it right now, John.
In serious ways about getting this job done.
Getting this job done. Don't you love when warmongers speak in acronyms? Lebensraum. Getting this job done. Do you even know what Lebensraum means? It was only living space that Hitler needed for Germany. It wasn't war. They needed to get the job done. Well, they needed living space for the expanding German people, the expanding German population. They didn't mean to hurt the Poles or those in Czechoslovakia. They just needed living space. See, living space, that's all it was. It wasn't really war. And this is not really war. This is actually love. What Obama and Kerry and Boxer and Feinstein and McCain and the others, the warmongers, the mad people, are doing is not war at all. It's love. It's peace. They're doing it for the sake of humanity. Again, the phone number is 855-407-2822. We have another doozy for you, which is the king has no clothes himself. When he says, I didn't set a red line, the world set a red line. This is propaganda unlike any I've ever heard. It's twisting a lie into a bigger lie. Listen to clip number two.
First of all, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world set a red line when governments representing 98% of the world's population said the use of chemical weapons are abhorrent and passed a treaty forbidding their use even when countries are engaged in war.
Then why didn't you say anything when Bill Clinton used chemical weapons in Waco, Texas, for example? That's number one. Number two, who used the chemical weapons? We don't know who fired the canisters. We have no definitive proof. The UN hasn't given us the report. There are those who say that the rebels did it themselves to marshal world sympathy and world opinion on their side. I'll take your calls if you'd like on the Savage Nation. Because I've never seen a propaganda, full-court press propaganda display like this in my lifetime ever. Never. It was not like this going into Iraq. It was not like this bombing Serbia. It was not like this going into Afghanistan. I've never seen anything like it. Boy, there must be a lot of money being spread around. Wow. To see Boxer come running in like that, foaming at the mouth with a pen in her hand? To see the others with pens? Whoa, there must be money being spread around D.C. before the break. Wow. Boston, WCRN. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me on your show, Michael. I like you better every night when I listen to you.
Now, hold it. I got your accent. You are the Dutchman, correct?
Yes. My father survived the war. 175 of his relatives were gassed by the Germans. And I think the Democratic chairwoman, whose name I will not use, is a despicable Jew who wants to make a case that this is the same as the Holocaust. How deep and how low can you sink?
Well, you heard what I said last night. How dare they use the Holocaust in order to peddle this false war? I was outraged last night. Did you hear the show?
Absolutely.
And that was the one, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, isn't it?
Yes, I will not even...
Emmy Wasserman Schultz up on her high horse about the Holocaust. I was sickened by it. It was sickening to listen to her last night. To peddle war or on the death, on the souls of 9 million dead?
You're absolutely right. And I believe that the Jewish leadership in this country, Eric Cantor, is a traitor to the...
Oh, my God. I saw through him the day they picked him up. Where'd they get that one from? Remember, he was being held up as a vice president. Remember him? Where'd he come from? Now, where did he go? Well, all of a sudden, he's suddenly a Mr. War Party.
Well, he's
so look, this is getting serious now. Let alone America being dragged into war, but why are so many of the Jewish leadership, why are they so gung-ho on this war, do you think?
Socialist, Michael. They're not Jews. They don't believe in God. They believe...
No, that can't be true. Sheldon Adelson is a billionaire, Las Vegas, Macau magnate, big capitalist, big supporter of Newt Gingrich, lifetime Republican. Suddenly he's backing the war. Why?
Well, I believe that it is like the end of World War II when the Jews in the State of Israel came to Rothschild and asked him for revenge. He said, you can have one of two things, either a country or revenge. It's your choice. And what they chose was a country. They left out the revenge, and ever since, the 13 tribe of Jews that is living in the United States has been selling out their brethren time in and time out again. All they think they have to do is... throw money.
You see, you know, this is interesting. People think that the Israelis are going to gain from this war. I see the opposite. I think Israel's going to lose from this war. If you'd like to comment on the war, if you'd like to comment on the madness of the war, if you'd like to comment on the insanity of the propaganda, if you'd like to comment on my comments, if you take umbrage with anything I've said, I don't mind. I'm in the business of creating umbrage. This is Michael Umbridge. The phone number here is 855-407-2822. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
First of all, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world set a red line when governments representing 98% of the world's population said the use of chemical weapons are abhorrent and passed a treaty forbidding their use even when countries are engaged in war. My credibility is
all right. Let's turn it off. Turn off the commander in chief, because we learned 70 years ago that if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And today we've been watching the big lie. Yesterday we watched the big lie. Kerry, of course, is leading the charge, selling the big lie. And now Obama adds to it and says, "I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. Teacher, I didn't cheat. You cheated by giving me that question I couldn't answer. You actually cheated by giving me a question I couldn't answer, teacher." Now, we've gone from George Washington saying, "I did not chop down that cherry tree," which I remember was drilled into my head in the first through second grade. Now, we've gone from him to Obama in several hundred years, where not only has he been seen burning down the cherry tree and saying, "I didn't burn down the cherry tree," even though his hands have the matches in it. The gasoline is being behind his pants. The cherry tree is a cinder. "No, I didn't burn down that cherry tree. I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. In fact, Father, you burnt down the cherry tree." We like George Washington saying that to his father. "You cut down the cherry tree. Look, the axe may be in my hand, but you must have just put it in my hand, Father. You put the axe in my hand. I didn't cut down that cherry tree. You did, Father." This is what we have now passing for a president. There's a lot that can be said. I can't say it all. You're going to have to join me. You'll have to join me. I mean, I'm looking at here's a congressman. He said the calls are running 498-2 against the war. Right. I mean, it's from National Review Online, posted on Drudge. Representative Matt Salmon had 500 calls to his office telling National Review, but only two callers wanted the war. 498-2. Can you believe this? How is it possible that liberals are for war? How is this possible? How is it that I'm an anti-war conservative and you're a war hawk liberal? How did this happen? How can you face yourself? How can you live with this? Now, I know what you're going to say. I've heard it, by the way. Well, come on, Michael. You've seen the pictures of the dead children. We're all recoil and horror from. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Si se puede. Yes, we can. Si se puede. Yes, we can. But you know, there is evidence against Assad having launched the chemical weapon attack. Moreover, I have in my hand additional data about the actual chemical attack, which you haven't seen a scintilla about, so far as I know, in the illegitimate media. Immediately after the attack, three hospitals of Doctors Without Borders, MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, I studied French for 7 years, by the way, I'm not apologetic about it, and I have a Parisian accent, they told me that. I don't really care. But the Doctors Without Borders, a left-wing group in the greater Damascus area, treated more than 3,600 Syrians affected by the chemical attack, and 355 of them died. 355 of them died. Not John Kerry's 1,500. 355 died, according to the Médecins Sans Frontières. MSF performed tests on the vast majority of those treated. MSF Director of Operations Bar Janssen summed up the findings as follows. Médecins Sans Frontières can neither scientifically confirm the cause of these symptoms nor establish who is responsible for the attack, period. I'm quoting now from an article in the WorldTribune.com written by Yosef Bodansky. Mounting evidence raises questions about Syrian chemical weapon attack. And going to the primary source of the skepticism, the Doctors Without Borders organization, who says that 355 died, not Kerry's lie of 1,500. And number two, they don't know who launched the gas or what the gas was. Now, I could say I rest my case, but I don't. I've just begun my case against the Ketchup King. No, the Ketchup King has not sold me. The eyes of the Ketchup King on television today were all I needed to see. The hooded eyes, the constant lies. One thing I noticed at the hearing today, I watched it for a while, then I had to leave and go to a boatyard to watch my boat being painted. I would rather watch paint applied
rather than paint dry than watch John Kerry lie anymore, I said to myself. So I went and watched them put the bottom paint on my little 22-foot boat in the yard. I liked the smell of the paint. I liked the smell of sawdust. It was refreshing to watch honest people doing something instead of watching people who lie for a living lie for a living. And all I thought of was how impressed these people are with themselves. All I could see was the perfect suit, the hand usage, the watch, the wedding ring, the manicure, the eyebrows, the use of the hands, the watch, the wedding ring, the skilled performance of the professional diplomats. How impressed they are with themselves, I thought. My, do they love themselves in their own voice. My, do they love watching themselves hold court before the world and have so much power. It matters not whether a word is true. What matters is that they have a military now they can exert upon the world in any way they want. The man who came home from the Vietnam War and was one of the founding members of Vietnam Veterans Against the War. How many times must... From that to this, no one sees the irony and the hypocrisy here? No. Some do. You report out, 75,000 troops will be needed to secure chemical weapons facilities. Let me repeat that for those of you who are choking on brisket right now. Those of you who are choking on the brisket fumes in your Lexi, in your whatever. Pentagon knew in 2012 that it would take 75,000 ground troops to secure Syria's chemical weapons facilities. This just came out in the mail online. That's right, just came out. While you slept, securing Syria's chemical weapons stockpiles and the facilities to produce them would likely require the U.S. to send more than 75,000 ground troops into the Middle Eastern country. Mail Online learned today. The estimate comes from a secret memorandum the U.S. Department of Defense prepared for President Obama in early of 2012. 75,000 ground troops will be necessary for dealing with Bashar al-Assad. They've known it for 18 months. So whose sons will be in Syria? Well, will it be Kerry's? No. Boxer's? No. Pelosi's? No. McCain's? No. Will it be... Well, there's a woman in Florida who's upset over the issue there, and she feels it as a Jew and as a mother, as a Jew and as a mother, she thinks that your son should go to war. Listen to Wasserman Schultz in clip 16.
Well, I feel confident that our colleagues, my colleagues, both on the Republican side of the aisle, as well as the Democratic side of the aisle, are not going to jeopardize the credibility of the United States. I feel confident that we will have a majority of the House of Representatives and the Senate who will understand and authorize the president to engage in a limited, targeted strike that ensures that our national security interests are protected, but also that we respond to atrocities and exercise the moral leadership that the United States has always led with.
Okay, now get ready for the soapbox. She now goes into the crescendo of the operetta in clip 17.
And for me, as a mother, you know, to see that searing image of babies lined up, murdered by their own government, innocent children. I mean, as a Jew, Wolf,
please,
of the largest Holocaust
moment.
Survivor population.
Oh,
in
no,
country,
don't bring up the Holocaust. Don't.
Never again has to mean something. And the United States.
Turn it off. Okay. Nauseous moment of the entire, the most nauseating moment of the entire charade. To bring up the Holocaust at a time like this? To use the deaths of millions of people to peddle this unnecessary war, it's beyond belief. Incomprehensible. Syria, Syria, Syria. I'm serious about Syria. That the administration and the media are pushing war, war, war. But why? Why are the leftists all of a sudden pro-warmongers? Well, because the king says we need war. Joining us to discuss this craziness on the Savage Nation is the World Tribune contributing editor Saul W. Sanders, who says that this crisis is not just going to go away after a few cruise missiles. Mr. Sanders, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening. Nice to talk to you.
How is this going to play out?
The important point to be made is that the Syrian crisis is much more than a crisis about Syria itself or even about U.S. policy. There are a lot of other interests and longer-term considerations there that are generally being overlooked. The Russians are trying desperately to again achieve some kind of superpower status, and they're using Syria for this. Putin is bluffing in Syria. He's trying to support this regime. One of the considerations, of course, for him is that two-thirds of Russian exports and a half of government revenue are based on exports of gas and oil, largely to Western Europe. And that's being undermined by something I call the shale revolution. The U.S. technology has changed the whole nature of the world oil markets now, particularly the gas market. We're now net exporters of refined gasoline and refined fuels and heating oil. We're changing the whole nature of the markets in Western Europe, which the Russians have tried to dominate.
Look, I've read reports on competitive natural gas pipelines, and this is a war for gas. What do you think?
Well, ironically, both the Obama administration originally and the Russians had an interest in higher oil and gas prices. In the case of the United States, the Obama administration wanted to push the U.S. toward away from fossil fuels, toward renewable, so-called renewable energy sources, that is, wind, perhaps industrial grains, et cetera, et cetera. That's not worked. The shale, despite the Obama policies, because the shale technology opened up new, enormous new fossil fuel resources, and they were located on private lands, the government, the Obama policies didn't work. And so what you have now is falling fossil fuel prices. That is, we have a gas price, for example, in the United States, that's one-third of delivered natural gas in the Far East, where China, of course, depends on imported fuel. It's also changed the whole nature of European markets, where Russian Gazprom, the big Russian gas and oil monopoly, had tried to dominate the markets. You have such anomalies as the Baltic countries and Poland trying to build LNG, that is liquefied natural gas terminals, to accept cheaper U.S. natural gas exports. They haven't started yet, but they're about to start.
Where does Iran figure in here?
Well, all the countries, what we deal with in the Middle East is a series of lines that were drawn in the sand in the early 20s that don't represent real nation states that we tried to build. Syria's always been a mess, you know, with the lack of any kind of historical perspective that Americans particularly have. You have to remember that in 1942, for example, when it looked like the Germans through the Pétain regime, that is in France, was going to get a hold in Syria, we and the Brits pulled a coup against the French with the Free French and took over. Now, then immediately after World War II, the Assyrians' independence. But between that coup in 1942 and the late 60s, there were two dozen military coups in Syria. It wasn't until Assad, the Papa, came on the scene in the late 60s because his little Alawite minority dominated the Air Force, and because he was willing to use brutal, brutal tactics, that there was any stability in Syria. And even then, in 1986, when there was a revolt in a town called Hama, a city called Hama, by Muslim religious elements, the Muslim Brotherhood, the elder Assad used artillery to level a city with tens of thousands of victims. So this is not the first time that this regime, Papa and son, have used absolute brutal tactics to try to maintain themselves in power.
How much of Obama's crazy foreign policy, or lack thereof, is affecting the Middle East?
What Obama has done by denying the important role, or denigrating the enormous role of the United States in the post-World War II period, and by trying to, quote, lead from behind, unquote, he's created a vacuum of power in the Middle East and in other regions where all these little creatures come out to play. And so that's what you're getting. I mean, he has no policy except to try to pull back on the use of American power. And unfortunately for us, we are still by far the largest economy in the world. We have the largest and most competent military by any stretch of the imagination, at a time when the Europeans, for example, have virtually no military role anymore. So the attempt to say that we are not the leaders, that we should not lead, is simply aggravating all the local issues everywhere. And that's what's been happening in the Middle East. And that is what has happened in Syria, where in the last 2 years, as a growing civil war took place, we refused to have a policy.
Mr. Sanders, where can the listeners to the Savage Nation read more of your work?
The best place is worldtribune.com. Or on my website. My website is Ye Olde Crab, YeOldeCrabb.com.
Saul Sanders, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. Jewish New Year. Jewish people believe that over the next 10 days, God decides everything that's going to happen to everyone during the coming year, and they all pray that they're written into the Book of Life. That is something very important for people to understand, and tonight is the beginning of that. And tomorrow morning, the ram's horn is sounded. The ram's horn is sounded as if to say, awaken, awaken, awaken. It's meant to waken up the slumbering people in the synagogues. When the ram's horn is blown in the temples around the world tomorrow morning, it's supposed to wake up the Jewish people. Wake them up to what, though? To war? Wake up to war? That the Jewish leadership in America is screaming, go to war? Where are the rabbis saying no war? Peace. We're a religion of peace. Where are they? I can guarantee you, as I stand here, you will hear in temples across America tomorrow the case made for war, because 98% of the rabbis in America are very liberal, and whatever the king wants, the king will get. But he's not going to get it from me. I'm an anti-war conservative. Which side are you on? So aren't you worried about the blood that's going to be on the Nobel Peace Prize winner's hands? And on Wasserman Schultz's hands, and on Kerry's hands and McCain's hands, etc., the entire group of them. That doesn't bother you? I mean, war is death. War means death, that's all. That's as simple as that. War means death. It's as simple as that. So, again, I don't rest my case. I only begin my case. This is all a preamble. U.S. Navy SEAL teams and other special forces units will be part of a rapid deployment, with a non-combat mission restricted to securing chemical weapons. However, if they're attacked, their rules of engagement would likely permit returning fire. So that's boots on the ground. The War Powers Resolution passed the Senate Foreign Relations Committee late tonight on a bipartisan 10-7 vote. And the text said that it does not authorize the use of the United States armed forces on the ground in Syria for the purpose of combat operations. Big deal. Now, if President Obama were in fact to order boots on the ground, the final words of that phrase, quote, for the purpose of combat operations, will become a loophole large enough to drive an M1A Abrams through. See, for the purpose of combat operations, Obama will say, I didn't set a red line, the world set a red line. He'll say, I said there'll be no boots on the ground, I didn't say there wouldn't be any tanks on the ground. I didn't say there wouldn't be any Humvees on the ground. I didn't say that, I said there'd be no boots on the ground. I didn't say there wouldn't be M1As, and I mean, there's a lot of tanks they don't know what to do with. Think about this, how good this is for General whoever makes it. It's a big facility in Pennsylvania, and they were just about to close it down. Hagel the Bagel was shutting it down. Hey, now they can open it back up again. Make the treads. So there it is. Congressional authorization to bomb critical Syrian military sites. Syrian military sites, I want to remind you, are probably in heavily residential areas, as they are in most countries. Let me remind you that Nagasaki in Japan was, in fact, bombed, nuclear bombed at that, at the end of World War II, to end World War II, because the Japanese had turned Nagasaki into a military site, interspersed with civilians. It's the way most countries do it. In fact, America has no specific military sites. I mean, excuse me, not many military sites that are separated from the civilian population. See, if you look at a tank factory in Pennsylvania, would you say that that's a military site in Pennsylvania? You would say, well, no, there's surrounding villages and towns in Pennsylvania. Well, okay, that's an example. So if an enemy were to bomb our America's military sites, people in surrounding towns would die as well. Kerry, of course, the hooded-eyed one, left open the possibility that boots on the ground could be used specifically to secure chemical weapons stockpiles, quote, in the event Syria imploded, for instance. So in other words, they have a whole plan. They're going to implode Syria. They're going to say, now we need the troops not to kill anyone. And then they'll wheel out Wassermann Schultz with a Stradivarius this time, not just an ordinary good violin. She'll bring out the Stradivarius, and she'll say, it's not boots on the ground. No, it's only 75,000 troops to secure those evil chemicals. That's all. It went from the buck stops here to the buck stops there. From Harry Truman saying the buck stops here to Barack Obama, the buck stops there. So now he's saying that it's Congress's decision. So he thinks he's going to win either way. Well, that is a clever man. Clever man didn't become president by being stupid. His handlers are not dumb. I mean, Axelrod is no dummy. You don't spend your whole life agitating in the streets of Chicago and wind up running the world and not have a high IQ. So you parse things. You say, look, now it's in your hands. I wanted to go. You said, don't go. Now you say, I'll put it in my hands. Now you better do it or else I say you didn't do it. Then where does that leave us? So you see, it's now it's in the hands of Congress, not in Obama. So either way, he wins. That's what Axelrod figures. Doesn't matter if a whole country burns. See, the thing is this. You have to understand what you're dealing with here. Human life has no value to politicians of our time. It's a hard thing to admit because America used to pride itself on the value of human life. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I was told that the reason the American soldier is a better soldier and the reason he fights better, which was a lie, by the way, is because the Americans believe in the value of human life and the others don't. Well, now we've reached a point where we're just like the others. We don't believe in the value of human life. Infants are chucked out of a womb and thrown into a garbage can so the girl can go back to an ecstasy rave. She tosses the fetus into the toilet bowl. That's giving you, I'm giving you a graphic example of what's happened to our country. Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, warns the West on Syria action. Don't underestimate a martial artist. No, sir. President Vladimir Putin, former head of the KGB, martial artist, as smart and as ruthless as they come, said that Russia doesn't exclude supporting a UN resolution on punitive military strikes if it is proved that Damascus used poison gas on its own people. So he said, if it's proved. He sounds more reasonable than what we have in our country. They already know what happened. Putin doesn't know and they know? The interview Tuesday night at Putin's country residence outside the Russian capital was the only one granted prior to the summit of G20 nations in St. Petersburg, which opens Thursday. That's tomorrow. Oh, that'll be a big one. Oh, that's going to be dominated by the, not the global economy, but the gas job. The gas job followed by the bomb job. So there we are. We're sitting on the cusp of another war, maybe World War III, being led by who? The doves. The doves. And here I am. It's amazing to me. Here I am. It's not really so amazing. I'm actually a libertarian. You want to define me? I'm a libertarian. I mean, if it was America's interests at stake, I wouldn't be taking this position. We have no interest in Syria. We know that. None. It's absolutely nothing. We're a Hessian army. We're mercenaries for the gas deal. America is a mercenary nation now. The military is going to be abused again. First, it was by Bush being abused, abusing the military. Now the military is going to be abused after being cut to the bone by Hegel the Bagel. After Pancetta got through it, then the Bagel took over. First, Pancetta sliced them up, and then the Bagel came in to slice them up even further. Now, all of a sudden, they need the military again. Where's the money going to come from? Well, we had that answer earlier today. Don't worry about the money. It doesn't come from, they're not going to raise your taxes for this war. No. We learned this morning from John, from the Ketchup King, that Arab countries have offered to bear costs and assist in the attack. I swear to God. Play the clip, Neil. Listen to this one.
With respect to Arab countries offering to bear cost and to assist, the answer is profoundly yes, they have. That offer is on the table.
Oh.
With respect to boots on the ground, profoundly no.
What do you mean profoundly?
There will be no boots on the ground. The president has said that again and again.
Tanks and Humvees.
There is nothing in this authorization that should contemplate it. We reiterate, no boots on the ground.
Should.
Well, we don't know what action we're engaged in right now, but they've been quite significant. I mean, very significant. In fact, some of them have said that if the United States is prepared to go do the whole thing the way we've done it previously in other places, they'll carry that cost. That's how dedicated they are to this. Obviously, that's not in the cards, and nobody's talking about it.
Oh.
But they're talking,
well, you're talking
in serious
about it.
Ways about getting this job done.
Getting this job done. Lebensraum. We need living space. Getting this job done. I really get, whenever I hear politicians talking in such acronym, you know, like, getting this job done, living space, Lebensraum. We're going to kill for peace. You better really be worried here. Kerry is probably one of the most dangerous men to have ever been Secretary of State. Came back from the Vietnam War and started an anti-war movement in order to capitalize on the lunatics with the patchouli oil and the underarm hair. Well, now the patchouli oil and underarm hair crowd is running the world, and now they're warmongers. How does that figure? How does this figure? How is this possible that on the verge of the Jewish New Year, so many pacifist Jews are suddenly warmongers wanting bombs to fall from the sky?